welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Hallelujah. First question tonight, I'm not sure of how many there will be. What is your life? Church, anyone? Michael? Nothing? Okay, let's hear something. Say again? Vapor in the morning? Hallelujah. It's lacquer? Okay. I think that's all been guys answering. Girls, what's your life? Living sacrifice. Let's have one more. One more lady. Well done, Ed. Okay, let's have one more lady. Love. Okay, so we have love, sacrifice, a vapor in the morning, nothing, lacquer. Yes, I don't think there's need for me to preach tonight the weekend. about 3.5 hours back or so, 4 hours back, we got back from, I was in Polokwane this weekend, and just recently in the last month, there were three young girls that died, still in school, two due to car accidents and one due to suicide. And it just brings you back to a standstill in a sense, thinking that, you know, life is short. Life is unpredictable. Within a second, within a mere moment, our life can take a complete turn into a direction that we never would wish for anyone else or would not expect to happen to us. We can only imagine how the families must feel. You know, they are torn, not just emotionally or in the inside, but their whole life is ripped open with having to, you know, bury your own child. So we can but imagine the pain, the agony. We can but imagine the questions, the confusion in the moment as that. We can offer go Melody and other girls. They were doing some work in Mamelodi. Four men at gunpoint tried to abduct her into a car. Unexpected. No warning, no nothing. So within a normal day, a normal routine, can be abducted or receive a phone call if this is happening to someone, and your whole day or life can be turned around in a moment as that, and the balance or the equilibrium we think that we have inside of ourselves, then all of a sudden when something like this happens to us or someone close to us, it sort of throws that off balance, and you know, life is not normal in a sense anymore. We need to do damage control. We need to help. We need to rescue. We have questions. But all this leads to that life is unexpected. Life is short. That none of us sitting here or standing here have any guarantee that we will make it out the door at the back tonight. And every breath that God gives us, every morning we wake up, is such a gift from Him in the bigger plan that He has for our lives. But none of us can have a security in our next breath, in our next moment, in our next decision, or even in what we are planning to attain to in the next couple of years. So life is short. John Piper wrote that life is short, eternity is long. Live like it. What do we live like? That life is long and eternity is a maybe. We think about it often. And we all will live in eternity. When has eternity started? The day you were born. The day before you were conceived, God already thought about you. He knew about you. He had plans set out about you. So even before you knew Christ, your eternity has begun. Eternity does not start the moment we give our last breath here. We are in it. This is just a season in the eternity. But how we live in this season depends how we spend eternity. I'm sure we all know that. But do we live like it? It's something we might have known, but it's something so easy to become blasé about. Waking up in the morning and just immediately jump into whatever needs to happen. Instead of just being thankful, God, for this breath, for this new day, for this new life that I've received today, because it all is in the name of God that we are living, that we are alive. We can live our lives for a better future on earth, to create a name, to create a personal kingdom for ourselves. Chris, to incorporate an international, global company. Creating a kingdom, creating security for myself, family. But in that whole process of, which is a good thing, it's good to have dreams, desires, and to make it come to reality. But if we miss God in it, it is not a good thing. Because what we do in this life determines how we will spend the next portion of our eternity. You know, and Ed said it so true at the back. But life is so short. I want us to read together out of Ephesians chapter 5 from verse 16. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. You know, so there's two ways in which we can walk on this earth, wise or unwise. Because the days are evil, so that means we are surrounded by evil and death and pain, as all of us know. We can walk in the midst of it in a wise or unwise manner, but how do we walk in wisely on this earth is by knowing what the will of the Lord is. So now the question comes up, what is the will of God? As church collectively, for us sitting here collectively, what is God's will for us? If we are sitting here and we cannot just immediately answer what God's will is, if we do not know exactly what that is, how can we, in a sense, aim for it, attain to it, walk in it, and be in the center of it? We can't. God has His separate callings for each and every one of us, which He's calling us towards, which we have the choice to partake with or not. But He has a will for all of us collectively for how we should walk and the purpose and why He created us and how to do that. I'm trusting the Lord that as we continue through the Word tonight, that He will come and answer the questions, because if we are sitting here tonight not knowing exactly, and my prayer tonight is that as we will leave and depart from this building tonight, we will know exactly what it is and we will align our lives to that, saying, God, I have been missing Your will, but I want to be right in the center of it. Because if we do not walk according to God's will, you know, we walk unwisely, being so vulnerable to the evil that surrounds us. God's will in our lives, it is in complete unity with God's divine order. For those who don't know God's divine order, you know, it's simply God should be number one in our lives. Seek first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness. Then all the other things. What are all the other things? It's all the other things. It's family, it's work, it's money, it's ministry, it's all the other things will be added unto you as you seek first God and His kingdom and His righteousness. And number one is God. Number two is family. It's your wife. It's your husband. And it's your children. And then it is your ministry. What God has called you to do. And that is in complete unity with what God's will is. That in every thought, that in every step we take, it should be God first, God center, God before, and God after. And if it's not, we can really do well. I mean, all of us are leaders. All of us are talented. All of us have received a gift, and gifts from God, which we can use to really build our kingdoms. But if it's not out of a place of God first, you know, the order is completely wrong. Because if our wife is on top, you know what? Our wives will be our God, and God will be number second, number two, or maybe number three. So it's really important to maintain the focus to where we are in terms of God's kingdom and our focus. And if I had to ask myself a question, if there's really something that I regret in my life, and I'm sure you all relate with me, it's lost time. Money we can get back, a girlfriend we can get back. A time we will never get back. You know, yesterday is gone, tomorrow is not ours. We only have today to really make decisions with what God has given us and guides us into to make. So I was raised up in a church, going to church, knowing that it's the best time to take a nap on my mother's lap, sitting on these really uncomfortable wooden benches, just wasting my life, just wasting my time, being so oblivious to what God is doing around, because the problem is not that God was not in the church. The problem was that I wasn't looking for God. I was not opening myself for an encounter to meet with Christ. And then when I was 15 years old, I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit, completely changed up, uprooted my life, gave many enlightenments of what Christianity really is, got a revelation of who Jesus is, and then Christianity actually became fun and cool, and you almost feel in a sense like a superhero because God gives you gifts and gives you the Holy Spirit, which is your power. And so at the age of 15, you know, I really got excited about Christianity and to be a son of God. And when I was 16, I got filled with the Holy Spirit, got baptized, and then I became a perfect Christian, and now I'm ready to go to heaven. No. Then after being baptized, then I started to make the biggest mistakes of my life. Even amidst God's revelation and God's embrace into my life, I even wasted some more time. You know, and it took for me to be begging for my life for 2.5 months on a hospital bed. I thought Jesus stood right next to the bed and leading me to a place of repentance, just saying, God, I am such a cocky little guy. I think I can do everything on my own. And God just restoring him being first in my life. And since the day, still making mistakes. I made mistakes the past week, weekend. My heart is deceitful above all things. I struggle with godly thoughts and all these things. So it is still a process. But you know what? I'm in a much better place than where I were when I was 15 years old, having my first encounter with Christ. But if I look back in the spectrum of my life, I've wasted so much time. I will never get it back. And I can only trust God that the time that I have left, that the time will be redeemed. It will be caught up. And if we have prayed those prayers, then we can never complain of God, why are we so busy? Because, you know, we are busy redeeming the time which we have just so foolishly wasted, not knowing what God's will is. And if we had to, now we need to use our imaginations a bit. If we had to take our life from the day we've been born and including the day we have come to Christ, just plot it out and we would see our footsteps and we would make this big line of where we went and the decisions we made and the effects it had on our lives and people's lives around. And it was all plotted out. And then we had to take this transparent sheet. It's the same with a cookie, which in the olden days the teachers had to use in the classrooms, also for music. It's not a overhead projector, that thing. And if we had to plot out Jesus' perfect will for our lives on the exact same time since we've been born, we had to place that over our chart, would we see two lines or would we see one? Two lines meaning that it is where we have veered off from God's perfect will for our lives, walking our own path, if there's an inch or two where it's in line with the other line of Christ's will, that is where we were at the center of his will. And what happens there is if we are completely in Christ, we are dead to ourselves, so He carries us. That's why there's only one set of footprints there. And it's also the exact same reason that when we walk with Christ, when He carries us, there's no reason for us to grow weary or to grow tired because we are not doing the walking. James 4 from verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you are to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. We make many plans. It's good to make plans. It's good to have a desire after things. But if it's out of our own power, our own capacity, we will miss God's will and we will walk unfoolishly on the path God has set out before us. Because our life on the spectrum of eternity, it is such a short time. It is such a speck. Now, unfortunately, we are not clever enough to understand how long eternity is. We cannot figure it out. We cannot see how far it is. There is no end. So this odd couple of years which we spend on this earth, there's no comparison to it. But this little speck determines where we will go. And we all know that there are only two destinations. We all live eternally with God in the universe. And we can spend it with God in paradise as His friends. Or we can spend it without Him as His enemies, exalting ourselves above God and what He has called us to do. Romans 12 from... I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Living sacrifice. We should present our bodies as Christ and to Christ, and then we should die in everything that we are and that we want. We should die towards it. Yes, God does give us the desires of our hearts if we ask Him according to His will and His purposes. So when we are dead and then walking on the same path of Christ, that is when we are in the center of His will. So then it's the question, what is God's will? What is it that He's calling all of us to as a church? Universally, to walk in apart from our separate callings. You know, the process of receiving salvation, it's a process of renewing our minds. A constant renewing of our minds. And what does that mean? It means we should stop focusing on the things seen on earth, but pray and hope for things unseen, which are eternal, which are in the heavenly places. And then we are, as sons and daughters, in the place of authority to make it happen as we walk and as we go. Jesus came to earth as a God, becoming a man, dying, taking all sin upon Himself on our behalf so that we can have intimacy with our Father. Jesus did all of that. We did nothing of it. Not deserving any of it, and He gave us the full access to everything that God is and that God wants to give to us. That calls us to be watchful to how we live our lives, because we have been given and entrusted to such a responsibility as the church, being God's first and only plan to bring redemption to the lost, making sure that hell is empty and heaven is full. That's not God's job, it's our job. Through the salvation we have received from Jesus. I believe God wants to just restore an urgency in our hearts with how short and little time it is we have to actually do what He has called us to do. We're all so busy, correctly so, we're busy with things God has entrusted to us. Do we maintain just the focus above it? Do we have the transparent sheet over our lives, just constantly checking if you align to this perfect will God has set up? Because there's a good, acceptable, and perfect will. I believe all of us attain to live in the perfect will of God. Who does not want to attain to the perfectness of what Christ has for us? See, when Jesus came, he was so excited to go after spending 40 days after the resurrection with the disciples. So excited to go because we can just imagine the disciples being caught out by Jesus in person, walking next to him in person, looking at him preach, looking at him guide and heal and give guidance and comforting and imparting wisdom. Would our lives be different if since the day of our birth, Jesus was standing receiving us out of our mother's womb, with our parents raising us up, then started walking with us? He taught us how to talk, then he was with us during school, just holding our hand through everything. Now I'm talking about Jesus in the person, and teaching us all things about his word, bringing revelation about his word, teaching us step by step how to do this. So that would that be amazing? Yes. But that is exactly what we have. And that is why Jesus got so excited to go, because he, as man alone, he was limited to the amount of people he could influence in person. But the Holy Spirit is inside all of us. The Holy Spirit is an extension of Jesus, of God. They are three in one. So we have a Jesus that was with us when we were born. And we decided to respond to him. He even more so walked right next to us, bringing revelation to the Word, teaching us how to pray, teaching us how to speak, how to share the gospel, how to do signs and wonders in the name of Jesus, how to become more like Jesus. So yes, it would have been great for Jesus in person to do it, but you know what? God has given us exactly that. Exactly that. So it's time for us to focus a bit more to what's going on right next to us. The Holy Spirit is not far off calling us and shouting at us, saying, jump this high, do this solo. He's right next to us. He's got our hands. Do it this way. Do it that way. No, this is wrong. Yes, well done. This is what the Scripture means. That is why, before you read the Bible, that you should pray, Holy Spirit, reveal to me God's heart behind what I'm about to read, because it's not a normal book, it is a spiritual book. So without the Holy Spirit, the book cannot come alive to you. So just as Jesus would sit and explain to you all the verses and all the parables, the Holy Spirit does that as well. The Holy Spirit is not a limitation of what Jesus was. He's the fullness of who God is. Amen? Do you agree with me? I think sometimes we give the Holy Spirit not enough credit what he's due. Because he's unseen, because it's hard to describe him. We just think it's a spooky mystery mist that we are trying to hear or figure out. But he's God, made manifest for each and single one of us individually. That is why Jesus got excited. Why else would Jesus get excited to go? So that we can do greater things, and we can do greater things because we all have our personal Jesus. Not so that we can twist his arm, but so that we are all in the place of mentorship with him, just one-on-one with him, guiding us, leading us, showing us how to make effective disciples. Luke 21, from verse 34. But watch yourself, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life. And that day come upon you suddenly like a trap, for it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. but stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man." All of us living on the face of the earth, that means all of us in this place, there will be traps around us. We will be tempted by the devil. There are snares in our place. What does God say? He's saying that we should be awake. So be awake, church. Yeah. Hallelujah. Should that mean we should never sleep? Definitely not. But spiritually, God is calling us to be awake. You know, He says that one day He's going to come back like a thief in the night, and many will be asleep and not see Him coming and then miss it. The same way we will fall into the traps around us if we're not awake. It's obvious. So that means we should, through a renewal of our minds, be constantly aware of who God is, okay? Of where God is and where He is guiding us and leading us and teaching us to walk in. Because God would not lead us into a ditch. Amen? So through the Holy Spirit, we should remain awake at all times and we should pray. You know, when Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, we all know the moment He was sweating blood, we can't imagine that, but He told the disciples, stay awake lest you fall into temptation. And obviously, you all know that they could not stay awake. You know, we should really not make the same mistakes that the disciples made there, but God is asking us the same as He was asking them. Church, stay awake lest you fall into temptation. When do we fall into the trap? When are we ensnared by the enemies? When we didn't see Him coming? If you see a robber running towards you and you know his purpose is to grab your purse, but you see him running from a mile off, are you just going to stand there and just hold? No. You have a mile to make a plan to get out of the way, to attack him back. You are prepared, you're awake, you see him coming. We see the enemy coming. We are warned through the Holy Spirit when something bad is about to happen. It's countless times. And I must admit and repent that I don't always drive the speed limit. Sometimes I don't. But so many times the Holy Spirit, He just says, warning, I've stopped praying the Spirit, and I would miss. There's so many accidents that I've missed by less than an inch. It's crazy. And He's just like, yes, hallelujah, Lord. And then for the next week, I drive the speed limit again. And then, oh man, then I go. Off I go being rebellious. Which is not a laughing matter. I'm really working on it. And so the Holy Spirit warns us when we are open to Him, when we are awake to hear His voice, He warns us. You know, with Melody and the attack in Mamelodi, while they were driving around before stopping, the Holy Spirit prompted her to pray as well. So the Holy Spirit prompts us, He warns us, when we are awake to hear His voice, and then what happens then? No harm will come to us. We will remain on the path God has set out before us. Following God does require the sacrifice of our lives. So we will be made fully alive in Him. But with this said, as Christ carries you, it is not a heavy burden to carry. It is not this hardship, this thing we need to strive for. And I've just so many times heard it in church. And we as a church and as leaders, we really encourage people not to just be involved everywhere in a sense, not because they can't or because they don't want them to, but God has a calling, and then as you lead people as well, you lead them to be on the path God has called them towards. So when God has called you, to be a worship leader, then be a worship leader and focus on being serving that area and just grow in that. Just through that, I've heard so many people say, I'm so burnt out. I'm so tired. and we are sitting here today and we are only thinking about the beach or the bush or the Karoo, wherever we are going in December, we just, God, just let this 2 months pass. I want to go and do nothing. I now want to do nothing so I can do nothing there. Just don't make my life hard. Don't give me anything to do. Lord, just make this 2 months pass like a week or day and let me go sit and do nothing. I don't know who's that tonight. But I believe we say that and we feel that because we're in a place of being so tired. We're in a place of feeling burdened, of having this heavy yoke upon our backs. This is a simple question tonight. And you can answer it if you want to. Us as a church being filled with the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit being our strength, can the Holy Spirit be burnt out? And the answer is no. So if we do all things by the Holy Spirit and through the Holy Spirit, are we supposed to get burnt out? No. Because as we die to ourselves, it's Christ living in us, and then we are merely the vessel to what God wants to do to attain His perfect will in our lives. Amen? Do you agree with me? Are there someone very tired here tonight that do not want to agree with me? Because we are going to pray. Don't you worry. What did Jesus say? His yoke is easy and His burden. Good evening, church. What is God's will for our lives? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. A life pleasing to God. Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. That you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of the lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for impurity, but holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this, disregards not man, not God, but gives the Holy Spirit to you. He disregards God. So, what is the will of God? Should we read this again? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do some more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. What is the will of God? Our sanctification. What is sanctification? The process of making holy. So now we get back to this moment, with this excitement that Jesus had in going, saying that a couple of days from now, the Holy Spirit will be poured out on all flesh. Okay, the Holy Spirit is not for the elite, for the select few, for the people that has only sweared 3 times in their life. The Holy Spirit has been poured out on all flesh. Okay, that includes all of us in this building. And if you have not experienced the Holy Spirit in your life or open up your life to the Holy Spirit, we're going to pray for you tonight as well, if you are willing. Because a life without the salvation of Christ and the infilling of the Holy Spirit, your life is a waste, because you walk unfoolishly, because it's impossible to know the will of God without the Holy Spirit. Amen? So the Holy Spirit is, as we discussed earlier, it's the same as Jesus that would have been walking next to us. So how do we become more intimate with the Holy Spirit? Knowing Him better, hearing His voice clearer, understanding not only His instructions, but His heart behind what He's asking and telling us, is by us being sanctified, by becoming holy. The Holy Spirit is called the Holy Spirit. So for us to know Him better is to become holy, because holiness and unrighteousness It does not go together the same as light and darkness. Is God and sin in the same place? No, that is why for us to know God, that is why we have to accept Jesus, because Jesus took away all the sin for us. So the same as we need to know the Holy Spirit, we need to become holy. And then we will start to really just understand who He is and His desires for how we should walk. You know, the Holy Spirit is so faithful in every single decision that we have to make. And He actually cares about every single detail of our lives. I used to think, I would hear people testify of saying, I wake up in the morning and then I ask God what color t-shirt I should wear. And then yes, I would think to myself, like, yes, vrachis. Lord, do you really care that much? And I, in a sense, think it's foolishness. Like, personally, I don't do that. But I've heard so many testimonies where God is so real. And it's especially to the ladies, which I think is precious. That they would just ask God what to wear and how to look and do all these things. And, you know, God actually does care to give guidance in all things. Because not all of us had parents present to teach us the basic things in life. You know what? God is, He's just the perfect, He's the perfect Father that wants to guide us and raise us up in all things. You know, His aim is not for us to know the Bible from back to front. Hallelujah. And be able to interpret every single parable and link the Psalm with Ecclesiastes and then with Revelations and all these things. It's good to have a knowledge of the Word. But the Bible is not a book of principles which follows an introduction to a relationship with Christ. So God came to establish a relationship with Him. And we have the Holy Spirit. And then God has laid out this. We can go back to the transparent form across our spreadsheet of our lives. If we walk in the holiness that the Holy Spirit leads us into, we are right in the center of God's will, because His will is sanctification. So if we have to go all the way back and ask the same question, what is your life? Yes, it's short. We have deducted that your life is actually nothing. But with this time given, your life is this process of being sanctified. So in other words, your life is Christu becoming Jesus. It is Gareth becoming Jesus. David becoming Jesus. Juba becoming Jesus. I think he's close to it. But Juba becoming Jesus. I love you, man. I really do. And the rest of you as well. Don't feel excluded. And so we live to die so that we can become Jesus. If we say it like that, it sounds really, really simple, but it is so difficult to do because we love ourselves so much. In order to trust God and to give God who we are, and we're going to read the scripture in Matthew 11. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Tian, you guys can come up, please. As Jesus, He has promised us life in abundance. He has promised us blessings. He's promised us a lot of good things, but the same, on the exact same hand, He promises trials and persecutions. So He promises good things and He promises some hard things to happen. And we will be rejected so many times in our lives. And do we allow rejection of thoughts or emotions from the outside, from other people coming towards you to affect this? Let's call it our equilibrium inside of us. Allow you to be stirred up, leading you to doubt even God, perhaps. You know, I got rejected this weekend, in a sense, and it rattled me a bit until I came to the realization that the reason I was being rejected is only because of the things that I stand for. So it was not me rejected, but Christ in me. It makes it worse, much worse, for the person. Did you know what that takes away? Any bad feelings I would have about myself. Yes, you feel sorry for the person because, you know, hearts are for every person to come to the knowledge of who Christ is. But if whatever input we have from the outside, from other people, it's not supposed to influence us. Why? If there would be a sack of bones that was buried 30 years ago in the ground, I would go and tune the bones that, hey, your breath stinks, bro. Do you think the bones will care? No. What's the difference between us and the bones? We just still have our flesh on it, but we are dead. We're supposed to be dead as well. Amen? Yes, that was not a great amen. So why don't you all stand with me, please, church? Tonight, God is reminding us of how short life is. He's instilling us in urgency. We have some people that we have not forgiven in our lives. We have people that hurt us and we are not able to tell them that we love them. We have unfinished business with so many people in our lives. And you know what you should do? As you leave this boarding, as you get in your car, you should actually just walk out now and make right with those people. Because if you breathe your last in the next half an hour, how will things be left? How are things between our parents, between friends that we are no longer in relationship with? How did we leave things? And then we just leave it there. God is calling us back to live every single moment as it is our last. So let's go home tonight. Let's make right where there needs to be made right in our lives. Let's go cry where there needs to be cry. Because we cannot leave things for tomorrow or for a year or for when we sit on the beach. Because none of us has the surety of a December holiday. And that's just the truth of the matter. Because when we forgive and when we just lay down whatever hurt we have, know what, when we actually forgive people, we set free the prisoner, then realizing that the prisoner was ourselves. C.S. Lewis said that. Realizing that we are the prisoner. I think C.S. Lewis said that. So let's set free every person that we are holding in bondage, including ourselves tonight, and let's repent just for lost time. You know, we have all lost time in our lives, but it's okay. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow is not ours, but we have this moment. So let's take this moment and make right. Let's repent of the lost time and move on and forget about it. Let's ask God so that our lives will be able to redeem it. And the last thing we are going to do, we're going to just say, Lord, we know that your will is for us to become holy as you are holy. You want to sanctify us. You want to make us holy. So that we will know the Holy Spirit, knowing intimately. So that when we align the transparent form of our lives, there will only be one set of footsteps, and it's God's footsteps carrying us, causing us not to grow weary, not to become heavy laden. Because he took all of that on the cross with him. So, band, you can sing the Spirit Breakout song, and I want us, the band ministers, just right where you are. If you have a lot of things to talk to the Holy Spirit about, but if you want to say, Lord, I repent of any lost time, and I want to live my life in sanctification. I want you to sanctify me, Lord, so that I want to know your Holy Spirit. I want, as the band ministers, that you just exalt your hands to heaven and ask the Holy Spirit for that. And as you will do that, you will feel the heaviness lift from you. As you take on Christ, whose yoke is easy and his burden is light. And in that moment, if you experience anything that is strange, where you want healing, cry out to God because he wants to heal you. So the band will minister, and let's do that. I want to close off. And in that moment, or after that, if you require any prayer, just come to the front. We would love to pray for you. So let's do that. Let's respond just to the Holy Spirit, what is stirring our hearts while the band ministers. And then after that, if you would walk out and we might see each other again, have a blessed week. I pray this week we will all live in the perfect will of God. So that a week from now we will be much more holy than where we are today through the Holy Spirit, knowing the depths and intents of His heart and His will for our lives. So let's cry out to God. It's Jesus.
For listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria. There is no one like